episode 7 of the Friday Night Hockey Podcast.
Today we get into a great interview with an NCAA Division III athlete. We talk about a lot of good stuff, a lot of things you wouldn't really quite think about. So hope you guys enjoy, and here's a quick word from our sponsor. Welcome back to Friday Night Hockey. Today we are joined by none other than my billet brother, Ethan McKinley. Ethan, how's it going, buddy?
Great. Over here, I'm in Alexander, Minnesota. More like billet father.
Yes. Yes, that's right. He did act as my billet father for pretty much half the season.
Yeah, the first time I met Gavin was I was in Anna Maria College, where I play right now, and I met him up for were we in New Hampshire?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a preseason game, we had to fill out one of the forms, and my mom already filled out too many, so I had to fill out your form saying I was your father, so.
Yeah, he did act as my dad for a tournament. That was some good memories there.
And you...
Oh, yeah, everything you knew, so.
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
And you brought up Anna Maria College, so that's NCAA D3. So, you know, what's that like? You know, that's pretty high level of hockey right there.
Yeah, sadly, with COVID, we didn't get a lot of team practices. We had to split them up in pods, and we did based off the freshman group and seniors. So I technically met half the team, but we did one scrimmage before getting shut down because of COVID during the first semester. But it's honestly a huge blessing, and I'm excited playing high-level hockey, coming from middle of nowhere, West Texas and Odessa, to playing NCAA Division III hockey in New England, out of all places. I think it's a fun story. So
yeah, that's big stuff, especially D3. Not many people get to do that. So, let's get started. You started playing in Texas. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I mentioned before, I was born and raised in Odessa, Texas. So that's West Texas. So I laughed when y'all first titled this Friday Night Hockey because I'm from a town that the title of the town is Friday Night Lights.
Yep. Yep.
A famous high school football story, based out of Odessa, and town to this day still shuts down Friday nights and Saturday mornings for that football game at Raffles Stadium. But yeah, I grew up playing hockey in Odessa, Texas, and moved to Dallas when I was 12, and played AAA hockey over there for 2 years until it got too expensive, and then played AA hockey around the DFW area. And then ended up making the jump to juniors when I graduated high school and going to New England for 2 years and played in Utah for 2 years. And so.
So you went from AA to juniors?
Technically, yes. So I was also playing high school hockey at the time, too. So in Texas, it's kind of like undisclosed, but like with how good the hockey is and how expensive it is. AAA teams down there don't per se play AA teams that are in the same age level. So if a AAA team plays a AA team, they always play the younger side. So there's no like actual rivalries. So you can't say like the AA teams are better than AAAs. But I'm pretty like to this day, I went back down there about Christmas a couple weeks ago, and the level of hockey in AA hockey is very risen, and even AAA hockey is still up there, but it gives a lot of competition. There's so much competition in Dallas that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like it's very similar to how it is in Chicago. There's a lot of AA teams that can definitely compete with AAA teams. So let's also talk about high school. You said you were 2015 and 2016 state champs.
Yeah, Mactown. Originally, I played in high school hockey in McKinney, Texas, which is funny because my last name is McKinley, so it was very close on the spelling. But yeah, I was a part of a two-time back-to-back state championship team, and it was actually really cool the first season because that first season was really a very heartbreaking season. Playing AA was after I went from AAA to AA, and I joined a team that wasn't giving me the right playing time. I really broke down my confidence, and that high school team really lifted my spirits up, and winning that championship against a set team, in a sense. We played a team called Plano West,
okay,
which is a kind of like a prep school, but it's a it's like one of those integrated schools with like a lot of kids from everywhere. And there's actually a line of elite hockey players on that team, Dallas Stars elite hockey players, that like they were supposed to run show, but we beat them, I think, in overtime that game. And so we won that one. And the second year we came back from a behind, I think, 2-3 game and beat Frisco to win it back-to-back. So we got to go to Nationals twice, which we didn't do so hot at Nationals, but the second year we were really close. So it was like one of those tiebreakers. We didn't make it to the second round. So.
Oh, gotcha. Yep. That is pretty cool, though, especially playing in Nationals for high school. That's got to be something else.
Oh, yeah. We went to D.C. and St. Louis for both those. Ooh. So we toured around D.C. like none other. We were being clowns, but going to the monuments and the White House and all that kind of stuff.
Man. And then, so I guess we'll transition to juniors now. So what was that like? What was your schedule like? How was playing games? All of that.
Being from Texas, I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into. And so in Texas back then, it used to be only WSHL, Dallas Snipers, El Paso Rhinos, which they were kind of like back then known as like not a good team to play with. And so we were looking to New England because we're like, okay, that's where all the colleges are. So surely playing junior hockey up there will make it closer to play Division One hockey, like play high-level hockey after juniors. And so I went to Islanders Hockey Club for the USP3 HL, which doesn't exist anymore. Now it's Elite, Premier, and NCDC as divisions. And that first year was a real culture shock. Just moving to New England, the whole family actually followed moving to Connecticut. And so I played... the practice was around like middle of the morning for 2 hours, and then workouts for an hour after, like three or four days out of the week. And then we had games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, either there or around against other teams. And we had the showcase weekends, which were four games in 3 days, which were the 25-minute halves. But I played there for the first season, and second season I went home because my dad actually lost his job, so I had to come back home and play for the local Hartford Junior Wolfpack organization, the USPHL Elite, because it was cheaper and wasn't the best experience. Those first 2 years were really guinea pig years of just trying to figure out what junior hockey was and, of course, find my fit and support my family at the same time.
Gotcha.
How old were you those first couple of years of junior?
I graduated high school in 2016, a year early. So I was 17 or 18 years old those first 2 years. So I was very young going into it because what I was told in Texas was you have to play all 4 years in order to have a shot play making Division One hockey. So I sacrificed one of my schooling years to pursue that.
Yeah, and that's very true. I feel like a lot of people, like now, if you want that junior's path to go to Division One, you got to play all 4 years as much as you can. So that's very true. Also, you said you have 2 hour practices and then a workout, which is typical for many junior teams. So what did you fill out the rest of your days with? Sorry about that.
No worries. The first season was I was doing all my classes through a community college in Connecticut, so I was busy just keeping up with academics and just staying out of trouble, because with juniors comes a lot of freedom and a lot of just you can do whatever you want in the sense as long as you don't get caught kind of culture was what I was in the first 2 years of junior. So I was very motivated, wanted to stay focused on my goal because I just wanted to play the best hockey I can, and of course, like, show my family, like, this was worth it. I didn't want to throw anything away with getting in trouble or being lazy during a practice because I just felt like it. And so that first season, I was doing college classes. The second season, I was working part-time at the rink in Hartford while playing and also keeping up with my siblings' game schedules. As, like I said before, my dad lost his job, so we actually had to live in my RV down in Virginia for a couple months trying to find a new job while working another partial job. And so I was helping my Mickey and Destiny, my siblings, get to games while I was playing doing college and working, and so.
Wow,
that's
incredible. That's
drive.
That's a lot to balance there too.
Oh yeah.
Let's see what else. And then you finished off your juniors with the Connecticut Chiefs, right?
Right, I did.
Gotcha. So, and then how was that like trying to with your age out year, trying to get onto a college team? What was that like?
It was very, very difficult, and I wish there was more guidance. With now looking back, God had the right intentions for me. Originally, I was in Utah the first 2 years. Before that, going to Connecticut for 10 games, and I just felt a tug on my heart, like, hey, you need to go back to Connecticut. You need to go somewhere, just try to like check your T's and dot your I's, like, kind of situation, because I was taught in colleges, but there's like not anything set in stone, and even set in stone stuff, like, there's no written paperwork or anything like that, and so it's pretty much verbal saying, oh yeah, sure, which, you know, like, a lifelong 4 year commitment isn't a sure. And
yeah,
so
yeah,
I sadly had to leave my team in Utah, go to Connecticut Chiefs for 10 games, partly injured too. Yeah, I purely went there just to get a commit and try to tour some of these colleges, which, thank goodness, out of retrospect, because I did that right before COVID hit. And so I figured out which colleges were good and which colleges weren't before COVID shut down. Mm-hmm. And ironically, the one college I did not tour before committing was Anna Maria College that I ended up going to because of COVID. So it was like one of those, like, because we were doing it based off of where I was playing and where I was traveling. So Anna Maria was close. So I was like, okay, we'll do that at the end of the season. But, like, literally the day of our last game was when all the shutdowns were starting.
Oh, yeah, right. And it's funny how that works out, though. Like, the one college that you don't tour, you go to.
Yeah.
And what did you like about Anna Maria that really made you say, like, hey, I could spend the next 4 years of my life here?
The culture of the campus was, right now, like, I lived there for a semester, and I loved it, minus, like, the COVID restrictions and everything, but, the people that I, interacted with, players and, students on campus, and even faculty, I really liked it and enjoyed it, and, they have a sisterhood, like, they have a sister program, which is kind of like a merger of, when I'm done with my pre-med, profession, which I'm in pre-med there. The next, like, 2 or 3 years extra, or if I finish early, I can go right into, like, Holy Cross or Worcester State or Amherst College in Springfield to get better classes for my curriculum and still have the cheap little school price. And so that was a big win for me. College was pretty cheap going there, and also the coach was honest with me. He was a very honest guy. Dave McCauley, I love how direct he is, and a pretty good motivator on the ice. We were trying to figure out all the COVID stuff while we were playing, trying to figure out practice schedules, and kept pretty good practices for what we had to deal with. So
yeah, and going off of, you're a pre-med major now, so how do you balance that, especially with training for hockey and always staying in shape, all of that stuff?
Oh, it is a it's a 16-hour job in itself. It's tough. It's just finding those extra times, which junior hockey helped a lot with that, figuring out, like, times to get stuff done, time to get motivated. And I'm one of those guys that is very – I work better when I'm distracted. So when I'm watching hockey, I'm reading a page, or if I'm listening to music, then I'm writing an essay. Mm-hmm. And so I was very, like – I try to integrate it with what I'm doing when I have time, when I have free hands, and also, like, making it a priority to set out a time to do my classes, and which most of the time this semester and last semester is right after my classes, or I take the whole morning off while doing my classes, and then the afternoon is more free to work or to socialize or to, like, just do practices and keep workouts scheduled.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just... It's so funny hearing that you're a pre-med major, because usually any, like, student athletes, they're more like kind of not taking the super hard classes, because, you know, it's a lot of work being an athlete and a full-time college student.
Well,
oh, yeah, you gotta love it in order to do it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so you said you graduated high school early, so Were you in school at all during juniors?
Yes, I was doing college classes. So I was doing local community college, like one or two classes a semester online while I was doing junior hockey. The only time I did it was Utah, my fourth year playing juniors, but that was because I got a job over there too, so I couldn't really balance that out and the schedule over in Utah.
And so with doing the classes here and there during juniors, was that to help once you got into collegiate hockey that then you don't have quite as much work to do, especially since you're in pre-med, which is not easy?
Yes and no. It kept my mind active, so I wasn't like sitting around not really learning anything and then immediately going into school situation where stuff is brand new. Like when I went into my first semester, there were things that were backwards. There were things that were not the same when I was in high school, or things that were extremely similar to what I was doing in high school, but like it was like outdated. And so it really kept me focused. It kind of got me ahead in some classes. There's some prerequisites I didn't have to do this first freshman year, but you can only get so far with NCAA clearinghouse with how many credits you're allowed to take before your NCAA clock starts, which I have 5 years with COVID, and so they gave us an extra year technically to play hockey if we wanted to. And so because the clock starts right when you turn right when you get into a college team, when you after your age out year. And so
and so going back to the whole college and juniors, how much of a difference do you think was the skill level between like playing at the junior level then jumping up to the Division III level?
I'm here for 4 years because junior hockey, you're kind of like in that mentality where you want to keep getting better. We want to get to a different place. You want to see where the grass is greener on the other side. While in college, you're set in a place for 4 years. Like, for, like my story, like I was in like four or five different places in the last 4 years. So now being set in a place for 4 years to play hockey for one team under one coach and probably some line mates I'll play for, play with for 4 years for the freshman group too. Like that's a big change, which is like going back to the youth hockey days of just playing with those kids you're used to, playing with the coaches that you're used to. And so it's going to bring a lot more chemistry rather than just, you know, junior hockey. That first week you're trying to figure out who everyone was and then games are going and trying to play with guys leave, guys get injured, that kind of stuff. And so it's commitment is 100% a lot higher on the totem pole in NCAA than junior.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's interesting that you compare it back to like youth hockey, because I never would have thought like, you know, the commitment in that factor is the same as like playing with the same kids you've always been with since you were little. So that's pretty interesting.
Well, and everyone's got a different experience, right? Like there are kids, you know, you look at some AAA kids these days around the Chicago area and they're switching teams every year.
Yeah.
And they've played for six teams by the time they're 17 years old. Whereas like you mentioned, you know, you got to build chemistry playing in some of those same places over and over again.
Yeah.
And it was interesting for me because like I was trying to play AAA hockey, but I couldn't afford it. But my track record, I was kind of a team jumper from the outside looking in, but the inside stories were like I was following coaches or I was following guys because organization changes and front ownership. Like there's a lot of crazy factors with Texas hockey because it's very, very different. And of course the opportunity of just playing with the best coach to learn the most, because I was a part of one team that I was about to commit to before my last year playing in Dallas. And right before the tryouts, my brother Mickey, he was a lot smaller playing I think quarter Pee Wee hockey. They cut him from his like little like I forgot what he was playing, like A squirt hockey. And they said he could be a practice player if I came on the team, like trying to entice us, saying like, okay, we got stuff, they got leverage, which I immediately said no and said like that is the wrong, like morally wrong. So I immediately went back to one of my older coaches that only played for 1 year and played there. My brother played house hockey there, and so.
Yeah, got you know, it's so funny you hear story. I mean, I feel like you hear stories about that all the time with coaches, and a lot of them, you know, they don't take the game as, you know, getting the kids better. It's more, hey, how can we like make get take advantage of people and make the best out of our situation?
It is heartbreaking which coaches have learned their lessons out of there. Those guys that did it, where I talk to them on a daily basis, and of course, like there's kids that I taught hockey or we are connected because hockey community down there, so we all know each other. So all these coaches we had these altercations with, they changed and they're doing better and trying to focus on the skill first. But at the same time, these coaches want to win, so they're trying their best to keep it moral at the end of the day.
Well, and you know, something that was brought up in our last interview with Greg Kisher, not a big deal right there. He kept mentioning how it's about player development, and some of these coaches get so caught up in wins and losses and winning these championships, which yeah is great, but you know, if you win state when you're, you know, 11 years old, colleges don't care. It's a team game, and it's about your personal development and you getting better.
Yeah, and especially when you're at that young age, like you, it's more about development. Like you gotta, like that's your prime years of breaking in those habits of a good hockey player. So when you're at the age of juniors in college, you have those habits already ingrained in you. Like you're already good to go and you're doing it, right?
And yeah, that's 100% like that too.
Yeah, and so speaking of all that, let's get into where you are now, your internship. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so right now I'm in Alexandria, Minnesota, with FCA Hockey. I'm a third-year intern here during summertime. So FCA Hockey is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So it's a program that tries to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to hockey players, from little guys to professional hockey players and coaching staffs and everything like that. So I've been doing this for 3 summers, but I got here a little early, so I actually got to help out from March on with the North Star Christian Academy prep hockey team, which they have a U18, U16 division, which is kind of like they're really, really good.
Yes,
Great,
they were a
great
top team in
players,
the
and
NAPL.
they're up there on elite on the hockey rankings. And so it's pretty neat to see these boys in the season. And this internship is just a way to grow my hockey and grow my mental development of just being confident in my hockey playing and also life living, with trying to glorify God in everything I do, playing the sport I love.
So, what exactly do you do there? I know they have a really nice facility. What do you do as an intern for FCA?
So as an intern, we help out with the main director over there, Rick Randazzo, and help him with just office tasks, whether it's filing paperwork or setting up Google Docs or Sheets, to cleaning up the rink, to helping out with on-ice stuff. With we have day programs during the summer, but when the camps actually start, we're full-time helping out with that, getting kids from point A to point B, and of course, implementing our hockey stories and our stories about Jesus to these young players and even older players, players older than me. And so we help out with that part. And we also grow with discipleship learning, with learning about Jesus Christ and learning how to use our faith and use our platform to further the kingdom of God, and also just have just confidence in ourselves to live our life to the fullest.
Yeah, and you mentioned the whole summer camp thing. I know they're big on summer camps, right?
Yes. They
Yeah.
only do summer camp stuff. They have talk. They have what's called Zoom calls, going over books of the Bible or devotions during the season. But the main target is during summer camps. Just the interaction. That's what Fellowship of Christian Athletes is about. It's about fellowship, getting people that from all walks of life together. Which for hockey wise, it's kids from Canada. We get people from Russia, Sweden, from everywhere, all stretches of life, who all love hockey, but also want to learn about the Gospels too. And so it's pretty cool to see during the summertime, seeing all the unique people and the unique faces and families come in and out of here.
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny. I think FCA is the first thing I've ever seen that they've really brought people together through God. And Have you noticed like any like differences in people's attitudes when they all like come together to focus on like one big thing like God? If that makes
Yes,
sense.
yes. This town alone, like, you know, anything dealing with Minnesota high school hockey, they had a lot of resistance building this program up in the beginning between FCA Hockey and also the North Star Christian Academy. But with relations to people around the city, people around the world, helping out build this place, and during the camps, just seeing the actual product set out the last 3 years. For me, I've seen guys who are 2 year, 3 year players on this North Star team during the summer times, helping out always around the rink, and seeing them mature and seeing them like want to talk about God more and want to live a great life, be a man of God. We have a sheet of a 10 traits of a godly man that we go over daily of like a godly man takes responsibility for his own actions. A godly man has the hard conversations, and so we 100% see it here, and even in myself, like I've been changed by this place 100%, and so.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's such a good thing, like seeing how you guys focus yourselves on one big thing and everyone come together, like, yeah, you're playing hockey, but you're playing for something more. And I feel like that can like change the player, especially if they're playing not just for themselves, but for something greater and playing the sport they love, which is such a great thing.
Right.
And going back to, you know, you were talking about the internship and what you do. I know you probably really enjoy cleaning the rink and filing papers, but when you say you help out on the ice, what are you doing out there?
Just showing skills. So like we have like little guys, like from 8-year-olds to like 14, 15-year-old guys, kids that like we're just teaching normal hockey skills to them. But also, I do get out there during the fully dressed during the U18 practices, and those guys go crazy. And like during the summer times, and even just like pushing pucks around, but just really feeding off each other with what I have to bring to the table. Because for me, like even though I may not, my strength in hockey is skating 100%. There are guys here that are way quicker, way more agile than me. And so now what I bring to the table is just that toughness, willing to go into corners and play that like Texas pride kind of hockey. Because hockey was not pretty in Texas. It was a rough, tough game, like taking sticks everywhere, kneeing everywhere. So with these guys, the way they hit and all that kind of stuff, it's like nothing compared to Texas. So now I bring another aspect of my hockey and my growth to here, and also just expertise. Like I played junior hockey, played in Texas, and so teaching these little guys just simple hockey skills will go a long way.
Well, and it's interesting you mentioned, you know, like your strengths as a player in skating and battling, and how maybe there's guys out there who are better at things than you are. And something, you know, in the coaching I've done of younger kids is you almost learn more as you get older when you coach than you do playing. And I think
Oh, yeah.
that's really cool. Like you'll be out there coaching some 8-year-old and you say something to them and you realize, huh, I need to be working on that, or I need to be doing that.
Oh, yeah. The one thing is 100% Michigans. There's like every 9-year-old in this town can do a Michigan, and I can barely get the puck on my toe of my stick, which it could be my curve. But, like, yes, that's point case. Like, kids up here, like, the coaches do get coached too sometimes, and I get that more often than not. And it's very humbling to see that. And of course, like, just accepting that, because I know I'm not the best hockey player in the world, clearly, but, I just like, I really enjoy when these kids teach me some and I can teach them some as well.
Yeah, and it goes back to the point that I feel like I've mentioned a couple of times, that is there's always something to learn, especially being a coach and stuff. You learn, like just like Andrew said, you learn so much as being a coach because, you know, you're really like looking at yourself trying to like bring yourself to these kids, right?
Well, and you're coaching the people in front of you, but you almost end up seeing yourself in your mind in the
Yeah,
third person,
exactly.
thinking of how you do things, and then, you know, you just realize a little detail watching somebody else do it.
And then going back to coaching, would you say you have a, like a specific coaching style, like anything like that?
I am very much so kind of like a player coach, so I like talking to the kids, making sure they're like focused, asking questions, and very just like, I feel like, of course, with me still playing, I feel like I'm more with these guys than not. And so just getting down on their level and just trying to describe stuff to them, and including motivate. I'm a big encourager. I'm a hot, big, happy guy, energetic, as you've seen, Gavin.
Very yes, yes.
And so I'm not going to be a guy barking orders or anything like that unless I need to. I'm able to do that. But I'm the guy who's encouraging, that will yell if you make a good play, will be very happy if you score, or happy for the goalie if he makes a good save. And so I'm a very much of a just an encouraging type of coach and a player coach of just helping these guys out personally. And of course, if a part of the whole can be good, the whole puzzle will come together at the end of the day. If it comes down to a team or kid going back after one of our camps to grow his game further after building confidence, not only skill wise but faith wise, and having just that confidence all together intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you encourage a lot of big saves, right? Like, you're all over those.
Yeah, when they're crazy, I go a little crazy with some big saves, unless it's against me.
Yeah, then you make sure everybody's dead silent. Not funny.
Well, nope.
Oh, man. All right, so to wrap it up, I got one question for you. What has been your favorite part about hockey in your whole experience? I know it's a hard question, but you can say anything and everything.
Just hockey's home for me. So, anytime I'm in a rink, that's kind of like my quiet place in a sense. That's like my sanctuary, as much as I feel like it's my church in a sense. And so no matter what's going on in a rink, watching all types of hockey going in and out and it's just very peaceful to me. And I really play this game for the love. If I wasn't playing for the love of the game, I would have quit a long time ago and done something else. But I love this game so much, I was willing to sacrifice a lot, which of course with my parents' help too, thank goodness, and including my siblings, they've sacrificed a decent amount of their time and their efforts of just helping me with my goals, get to college hockey where I'm at right now. And I give thanks to God for letting me be able to do that, but also just I love playing hockey. And as soon as I lose that, that's the day I'm gonna way to play a beer league, because I still love this game so much. So.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? It's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you for calling us.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.